This talk that you're about to hear on conscience, I gave it a Latin Mass in Washington, D.C., and the time schedule was a little tight. I wasn't able to develop every concept I wanted to about conscience. I tried to make some fundamental points in this talk, but I think one thing that I didn't have time to get to, but is certainly very important in terms of conscience, is that although God gives us the fundamentals in terms of writing the fundamental moral truths in our heart, that we obviously, our conscience needs to continue to develop and grow, although the fundamentals are in place, the obligation is certainly upon us based on the teachings of the church and the teachings of Scripture to continue to inform our conscience and to grow and see it develop so that we don't just understand what is right but why it's right and what are some other implications. And so conscience, although it's given by God, fundamentally intact in every human person, can, should grow. So I wanted to develop that more. I didn't have time to. Another point, I think at the end of the homily, I made a point, if you want to have a clean conscience and you want to sleep the sleep of the just, you know, allow the precious blood of Jesus Christ to free you from sin. And certainly, obviously, a very practical step to that is get to confession. If you want a good, clear conscience, you know, get to confession and really begin to experience freedom from sin. And that's really at the heart of a good, clear, and clean conscience. So here's the talk that I gave at the church, St. Mary's, downtown Washington, at the Latin Mass on conscience. I'd like to say a few words today about conscience. You know, conscience is, it's interesting to me how little people refer to conscience today. And yet, it's most essential for us to appreciate, I think, a good, solid biblical teaching on the role of our conscience. Now, in the first reading today, we were told that there is, again, here this call, if you will, for us, that Jesus Christ, through His blood, has cleansed our conscience from dead works so that we may serve the living God. And I want to return to that at the end of this reflection on conscience. But what is our conscience? I want to read to you a few things from the Catechism, but before I do, fundamentally, our conscience is that deep inner part of us where God wrote His law in the heart of every human being. It's our basic instinct which God put there of fundamental right and wrong. And everyone has a conscience unless they're extremely mentally ill. Everyone has a conscience. We basically know what we're doing. You know, an awful lot of people today say, oh, well, you know, so-and-so is not responsible. Their mother dropped them on their head when they were two, and they had a rough upbringing, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of excuses are made today. But, you know, I've lived in some pretty tough neighborhoods in Southeast Washington. And I can tell you that even those who walk the streets and sell drugs and are all wrapped up and confused in gang life, when I go up to them and I talk to them about the Lord and I talk to them about right and wrong, they know what they're doing. They know. They know it's wrong. Likewise, a couple will come to me to prepare for marriage and they're all shacked up, living together, having relations before marriage. And I speak to them about it. And you know, they know it's wrong. They know what they're doing. Deep down inside, with all the game playing and all the other stuff we do to pretend we don't know, deep down inside, we know what we're doing. And that's the conscience. And every person has a conscience. Now, I'll show you in a minute, conscience can become depraved or confused, or and all of our consciences need to be more and more well formed, but fundamentally we know what we're doing. You can go to any culture in the world, no one praises theft, no one thinks that defaming someone's name or lying or cheating or stealing are good things, no one thinks that murdering the innocent is fundamentally a good thing. Deep down inside, Everywhere you go on the planet, every culture appreciates the fundamental wrongness of some of the things I've told you. And the only way people can get around that is if they try to play games with their mind. But deep down inside, they know. Every culture knows the fundamentals of right and wrong. Why? Because God put it there in our minds, in our conscience. That's one of the reasons, I think, that the world often gets so angry at the Catholic Church. Because when we speak the truth in love, some people like to call us names. You're intolerant, you're bigot, you're this, you're that. You're backwards, you don't seem to understand. The anger, I think, is rooted in the fact that deep down, the world knows we're right. That it really is wrong to be promiscuous. That homosexual activity really is wrong. There's something fundamentally wrong with anger and violence and a lack of forgiveness, with greed. The world fundamentally, every person on this planet, knows deep down inside that we're right. And that the scriptures are right. And this is one of the reasons why I think so often the anger is so deep. Because deep down, we know what we're doing. And we know whether it's right or wrong. Now, just a few things. One thing from the Catechism, a beautiful description of conscience in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, from paragraph 1776. For man in his heart has a law inscribed there by God. This is his conscience. And there he is alone with God, whose voice echoes in his depths. What a beautiful description of conscience. The voice of God echoing within us. God's law inscribed there in our hearts. Likewise, from paragraph 1779 of the Catechism, it is important for every person to be sufficiently present to himself in order to hear and follow the voice of his conscience. This requirement of interiority is all the more necessary today, as life often distracts us from any reflection, self-examination, or introspection. In other words, even though the voice of conscience is there, many people try to endlessly distract themselves with things of the world so as not to listen to that voice. We're very busy, we're running around, we often act in ways that are unreflective, just knee-jerk reactions. We never stop and think, what am I about to do? Is it right? Is it wrong? Too often we just rush headlong into all the busyness of life, and we live unreflective lives. And again, the Catechism is saying there is imposed upon us a requirement of interiority. That we ought to get alone with ourselves and ask the fundamental questions. What am I doing here? What am I doing with my life? Am I acting in a moral, upright way in this matter or that matter? Many people today don't want to live reflective lives, and they want to ignore the voice of their conscience. But like it or not, it's there, and God put it there. And deep down inside, we know what we're doing. That conscience is a universal attribute, that everyone has a conscience, is also attested to by Scripture. For example, Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul, speaking of the Gentiles, says, they show that what God's law requires is written on their hearts, and their consciences also bear witness to it. So in Scripture, God explains to us, He's written His law in every human heart. Likewise, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19 says that many people, by rejecting their conscience, have made a shipwreck of their faith. They weren't just in error, they rejected their conscience. They knew what they were doing and turned away from the faith. St. Paul, in the first letter, or the first chapter of the letter to the Romans, speaks again of the Gentiles, and he says, although they knew the just requirements of God, they did not accord that those just requirements, and they suppressed the truth, and their senseless minds became darkened. But what did they do? They knew what they were doing, and they suppressed it. They knew the just requirements of God. Why? Because God put it there. Brothers and sisters, every human person has a conscience. And therefore, when we speak the truth in love, we should always remember that fundamentally we are appealing to something that people know fundamentally. Now, there may be technical requirements of the law, liturgical law, or some aspects of prayer and so on that may not be there intrinsically, but they're there fundamentally, that we should worship God and praise Him, that God is due glory and honor. This is written in every human heart. Now again, I'm going on too long, so let me try to summarize here. It is true that Scripture also says to us that our conscience can become corrupted, that our minds can become distorted. Again, after a long period of suppressing our conscience, people's minds can become distorted. A lot of stinking thinking going on out there. A lot of dopey thinking and stupid things that are said. And again, people often run after these things because they want them to be true. But I want to say to you again that deep down inside, about basic fundamental moral precepts, we know what we're doing. We know what we're doing. And we know that it's wrong. Or we know that something is right. And that we ought to do it. Now, why do I go through all of this? Because, again, getting back to the line, and then I'll finish. It simply says here that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, every now and then, people are troubled by their conscience. And some people think, oh gosh, I'm feeling guilty. And what they want to do is run over to a therapist or someone to take away the feelings of guilt. But you want to know the best way to have a good, clear conscience and to be able to sleep the sleep of the just and to be at peace with your conscience is not to have someone try to explain to you that what you know is wrong really isn't wrong. That's not the path to a good, clear conscience and sleeping the sleep of the just. You want to know the best way to have a clear conscience? Let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from sin. Remove the sins that we commit by the powerful blood of Jesus Christ working within us, cleansing us from sin, helping us to do what is right and not what is wrong, having a transformed heart and mind so that we love what is true and just and do what is right and stop sinning and find ourselves doing what is right. That, brothers and sisters, is better than any therapy. It's the path to a good, clear conscience. Now, there's good psychotherapy out there. I'm not standing in this pulpit and condemning all psychotherapy, but brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, an awful lot of people are trying to soothe their conscience by hiring someone to tell them it's okay after all. When what's the real path to a good, clear conscience is this: do what is right, and you won't have a guilty conscience, and you won't feel shame or guilt or distress. So fundamentally, there's good psychotherapy out there. Make use of it. But be careful. There are some people who try to hire up teachers that will tickle their ears and make them think that what they're doing, which they know deep down inside is wrong, try to tell them it's actually okay after all. It's not, brothers and sisters. The only way to a good, clear conscience is the blood of Jesus Christ, if this text says, who will cleanse us from all the works of sin and give us good, clear consciences so that we sleep in peace and are not afraid on the day of judgment. Only the blood of Jesus can make us whole again. Amen.